Listening Library presents The Bone Thief by Allison Noel, read for you by Robbie Damond. For those who fear they're different, and for those who think they're normal. It's weird not to be weird. John Lennon. A brief note about Quiver Hollows. If you've never been to Quiver Hollows, and let's face it, most people haven't, then you've probably never been forced to ride your bike onto a perpetually frozen lake to avoid crashing into a fluffle of blue bunnies idly crossing the road. It's also entirely possible that you've never watched a dog give birth to a litter of purple piglets. And with that in mind, it's safe to assume you've also never seen a waterfall flow in a loop. For the record, it looks like a water zipper, zooming straight from the bottom to the top and then back again. In fact, if you've never visited Quiver Hollows, and why would you, since you've probably never even heard of it until now, then there's a very good chance you doubt these sorts of things can exist. So later, when you hear about a girl named Ming who can levitate high above the treetops, a boy named Ollie who can bend metal using only his mind, and another girl, Penelope, who can communicate through the images she creates in her head, you'll probably doubt they exist too. By this point, you may even suspect you're listening to the words of a pathological liar, a person who is downright delusional and who absolutely, positively cannot be trusted and is better avoided. But that's only because you've never set foot in Quiver Hollows. If you had, you'd be nodding in solidarity, secure in the knowledge that the world is indeed so much stranger than it seems. 1. Professor Snelling's School for Spoonbending. Professor Snelling swipes a spoon from the top of my pile, pinches the base between his forefinger and thumb, and, using only the powers of his mind, bends it first into a circle, then a heart, before finishing with a five-pointed star.
"See, Grimsley? See how easy and uncomplicated it is? And it all begins and ends here."
He taps a long, twisted talon to his temple and nods encouragingly. And if I didn't know better, I'd think he was bragging. But the truth is, I've seen him make much more complicated shapes in a lot less time. As far as spoonbenders go, Professor Snelling is considered the best in Quiver Hollows. Almost as good as our town's founder, Yegor Quiver. Which is really saying something. With the tips of his curly-cue mustache twitching, and the flesh around his eyes crinkling like origami, Snelling looks at me and says,
"Now let's see you try. But first, what's the secret to spoonbending success?"
I clear my throat, straighten my shoulders, and in a clear, strong voice, recite the words on the silver-framed sign hanging on the opposite wall. "To achieve it, you first have to see it and believe it. Imagination is key." Just to be clear, it's not like I needed to read straight from the sign. The words are part of our daily drills. They're practically tattooed on my brain. Still, on an important day like today, the day of the sixth grade final spoonbending exam, my confidence is running so low I can't afford to take any risks. Despite the countless hours of careful instruction, despite all my classmates having grasped the art from the very first day, only to spend the rest of the semester improving their skills, I'm still no closer to performing the sort of mental magic required of spoonbending than I was on the very first day in this class. And as much as I'm hoping that today is the day when all those lessons will begin to make sense, and I'll find myself twisting this heaping pile of spoons into unrecognizable silver bits, fact is, I'll be lucky if I can manage just enough of a crook and one handle to walk out of this room with some slim shred of dignity intact. Everyone in Quiver Hollows has a thing, at least one major peculiarity, and sometimes as many as two or three, that makes them really different, extremely odd, and unique. Everyone except me, that is. The only odd thing about me is I'm as normal, average, and boring as a person can be. Snelling grins in a way that sets his face into a riot of wrinkles that obscures everything but his nose, which remains splendidly long, triumphantly hook-like, and completely unaffected by the rest of his features. He plucks another spoon from the top of the pile and presents it with great flourish, and when he places it before me, I instantly break into a cold, clammy sweat. There's no more delaying. The moment has come.
Grimsley, he says,
his voice assuming a more serious, professorial tone.
You can do this. You'll see. Just remember what I taught you. All that's required is a dash of mind magic and the belief that you can.
I settle near the edge of my seat and frown. It's not that I doubt what he says, but it's becoming increasingly obvious that what's true for Professor Snelling is not necessarily true for me. I glance around the room. My focus moves from the oversized, gilt-framed portrait of Yegor Quiver, his wise, all-seeing gaze aiming to inspire us from beyond the grave, to the large glass-fronted display case crammed with all manner of intricately contorted metal sculptures crafted by Professor Snelling's former students, to the glistening mobiles hanging overhead, fashioned entirely of twisted gold and silver cutlery, before turning hesitantly toward the single, unyielding spoon lying before me.
You know the rules, he says. Exactly 1 minute for the lot.
Then, just when I'm sure he's decided to cut me some slack by giving me one less spoon to worry about, he plucks the star from the table and with a blink returns it to its original shape and places it on top of the heap. Great. 60 spoons in 60 seconds. Only a miracle can save me now. I take a deep breath and look at the words of inspiration scrawled across the chalkboard. Focus, concentrate, imagine, believe. That's all there is to it. You'll see. It sounds reasonable enough in theory, but after watching Snelling plow through his own pile of spoons before he was forced to delve into mine, molding them easily, as though they were made of rubber, it's time to face the unavoidable truth. I'm about to become the very first person in Quiver Hollows to ever fail the spoon-bending exam. Exactly the sort of distinction I'd prefer not to claim. With a simple nod, Professor Snelling makes a quick jab at the pocket watch he pulls from his robe, and the wall of clocks reset to zero. The countdown is on. The second hand begins its descent, sending time marching forward with an audible tick, 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 as I close my eyes and go through the steps. First, I picture a circle looming large in my head. And since my expectations are already low, it's not even a perfect circle. Its sides are uneven, with one popped out, the other pushed in. The sort of thing even the most challenged student should be able to replicate. Then I follow the short list of steps that for the last several months have been drilled into my brain. I focus, concentrate, and believe in that lopsided circle with all my heart. And then, something extraordinary happens. Something that seems almost too good to be true. The spoon begins to curve in a place where it once used to be straight. Since my eyes are closed in deep concentration, it's not like I can actually see it. But somehow, I just know that stubborn slab of metal is finally, magically yielding to my forces of will. And while it's only one spoon, I no longer doubt that the others will follow. When the 60 seconds are up, the collection of clocks gets to buzzing so loudly the whole room seems to vibrate. I snap my eyes open and plant a wide grin on my face in anticipation of the celebration to come. Until I catch Professor Snelling's look of despair. He stares unbelievingly at the single
Sample complete. Ready to continue?